Greetings, this is Reverend Juliet Nightingale, and welcome to this transmission of Toward the Light, Leading Back to the Source. This is a program centered on near-death, out-of-body, and similar spiritually transformative experiences and related topics, including what people should know about the dying process, the many facets of after-death communications, living interdimensionally and being multisensory, intuition and telepathy, and more. We feature special guests who are both experiencers and researchers in the realm of NDEs and related topics. And you are more than welcome to ring in to the show to ask questions or make comments. And we will be taking calls at the latter half hour of this show today, so please feel free to call in. We also would like to let you know that there are services and products available through our organization Toward the Light, including near-death studies and support, CDs and books, psychic, spiritual, motivational, and grief counseling, Reiki and remote healing, and more. We'd also like to encourage you to help support this program or sponsor the show by making a donation to towardthelight.org. And for more information, please indeed go to towardthelight.org. This week, I'm very pleased to have a kindred spirit with us who has done some extensive research on EVP, which is electronic voice phenomena, and also something called reverse speaking, which many of you may not have heard of. So we're going to have a lot of interesting things to discuss today. Welcome to Toward the Light, Peggy Kane. Hello, Peggy.
Hello, Juliet. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it's wonderful having you, and I've really been looking forward to this.
So have I.
And I would... I hope that somehow we haven't gone off the air for some reason. I'm going to check this call just a moment. Bear with me.
Okay.
Okay, sorry about that, and it was a mistake, but we did have the unfortunate incident of the call being dropped or the show being dropped, so I wanted to double-check on that.
Okay.
Anyway, go ahead and tell us, Peggy, I know you've been doing this research, for at least 5 years? How did you come upon EVP and especially reverse speaking?
Okay, I just wanted to tell you, you had a little worry there about whether we were on the air. Well, 5 minutes ago, my speakers died. But I'm going to be playing my recordings just from my laptop, which it's a little tinnier, but it should be okay.
Okay.
I couldn't believe it. But those things happen.
Yes, they do.
But they should be fine. 5 years ago, well, I would say about 7 years ago, I went to a seminar and I heard Mark Macy, who is the head of World ITC, which is Interdimensional Transcommunication, talk at this seminar about contacting people on the other side through technological means like computers, tape recorders, and such things. And it just never left me. I just thought, what a wonderful idea to be able to utilize technologies to make the breakthrough to the other side. And I was mostly interested in EVP, which is electronic voice phenomena, which is capturing spirit voices. And so I bought a pretty cheap tape recorder, of digital recorder, and I didn't really have any software, and I didn't really know what I was doing, and I could tell because I wasn't having any success. And then I learned about needing to have a specific software in order to slow the voices down, boost the volume, and I bought different recorders which had different properties, and finally I was able to make a breakthrough. And I began to have conversations with people on the other side. So at that point, I was really intending to speak to those of higher consciousness or my loved ones, angels, to that caliber of people. And I wound up not speaking to any of those people. I wound up speaking to a group of people who were living in the same area here, but in a different frequency, which was, we would call, the lower astral world.
Yes.
And so at first they were pretending to be my loved ones and my spirit guides. I was very naive, Juliet. I just thought if you had an intention that everything would just be fine, and if you protected yourself and all. And well, I went through 6 months of being really just fooled, and I finally woke up because it just got more and more bizarre, let's just say. And they admitted that they were just people on the other side who were joking around with me. But for some reason, I tried to get rid of them. I really didn't want to talk to them anymore. I really wanted higher consciousness beings. But one of them, by the name of Francis Haley, he became very fixated and attached to me. And so he kept wanting to talk. And I finally, what I did is I just said, well, let's have a truce here. I also found out that you could reverse EVP. And I would have heard 6 months ago that they were not my spirit guides or my loved ones if I had reversed, because when you reverse EVP, you hear the truth. And that was a big wake-up call for me to the importance of reverse speaking. And I want to give David Oates credit here, because he is the founder, as far as I'm concerned, of reverse speech. And he has his a big website and all. But I came to it from a different direction. I came to it after talking to people on the other side. And so I learned that a lot of what we hear about in reverse is dealing with what's happening over there. Whereas David Oates, I believe, thinks that these reversals and metaphors are all about parts of our mind or psyche. I don't agree with that. So we kind of come to it from a different direction.
Now, how did you stumble upon the reverse speaking? How did that happen? And
well, I was very familiar with David Oates' work, and I actually had the opportunity to interview him because I was doing a UFO TV show at the time. So I thought it was so fascinating. And I also had heard that EVP would reverse. So when I started reversing my files, I could hear myself saying, wake up, honey, these are not your spirit guides. They're lying. And then I heard them say, we're just joking, we're not, you know. And so it all came out. I could hear in reverse the whole setup. They were just bored. They weren't malevolent. They weren't mean. I never was harmed by them, and actually, we became good friends.
Especially Francis, correct? Because you were talking about Francis quite a bit, I believe, in one of your interviews.
Yes. Francis Haley was my main contact person, and he had died around 1820 and 1830. I don't exactly remember, and I learned a lot about his life. As an indentured servant, came over from Ireland as a little child and worked on a farm in Minnesota with the Bradley family. And I could have actually traced his paperwork, but they were in the Maryland archives, and it would have been costly, and I just didn't really follow up on it. But because I stuck with it, the people's attitude towards me changed from me being just some dumb, naive, physical person that they could jerk around to somebody who was actually willing to listen to what was going on over there. This was a first for them. They had never had any outright contact with somebody in the physical world. And I began to have crowds of them trying to speak to me. And I would record every day, and I would try to hear what they were telling me, and I would always check to see if they were lying. And once they figured out that I couldn't be fooled anymore, they stopped lying. And the dynamic, it went into a different kind of a relationship, because I began to realize that life over there was nothing like what we had been hearing about. So I guess I just stuck with it. And that was kind of the beginning. I began to not only reverse EVP, but then I began to reverse everybody. Everybody. I would listen to politicians, and I would listen to, you know, people in the UFO metaphysical fields, and all different people. I've probably reversed easily several thousand people by now. This has been over the past 5 years. And I've found that it was a long journey, it has been, to try to figure out what is happening here. It just doesn't fit what I had believed. It was, my belief systems were falling apart very quickly.
Now, and how did you come to the realization? What was it that really brought home to you, as it were, that reverse speaking is the truth?
Well, because with the EVP, I would be recording. I would not hear those spirit voices until I downloaded them into my computer and boosted the sound. Because if I were out somewhere and just recording, I wouldn't hear anything until I came home, sat at my computer. And then I found I didn't even have to leave the house, because Francis and his friends would talk to me right here where I was sitting. And what happened was, once I began to reverse them, my voice would be on there too. And I found that I could hear them in real time, in reverse. I could see them. I was telling myself things like, they're lying to you, you need to wake up, and a lot of other things. And then, so I realized that this reverse speaking was a window into some kind of a realm that I couldn't access consciously, because I couldn't hear them consciously, and I didn't know who was lying and who was not. And as soon as I would reverse myself and their voices together in conversation, I would find that I was responding to them in real time. I was saying, oh, I was calling them, you know, oh, you're just lying to me now. And then they would say in reverse, yes, we're just lying to you now. And it was just like truth serum. It was like we had all just taken truth serum, and nobody could fool anybody. And it was just an incredible awakening for me.
So there was a consistency with the reversals that you were hearing that all added up to,
yes,
truth.
I wasn't getting any contradictions like I had been.
Mm-hmm.
In the earlier part, when I was believing what they were saying to me, I was getting all kinds of contradictions. And I was thinking, for being spiritually enlightened beings, they really make a lot of mistakes. But part of our nature, Juliet, is to have such awe and reverence for the other side that we feel that we shouldn't question, because that would make us seem like we're not trusting. And we want the spirit world to think we trust everything they say, especially if they're saying nice things to us. And I have found that there are so many lies and manipulations when you're dealing with the other side. Even if you're thinking you're talking to somebody who's an angel, or they're saying very nice things to you, or they're, my child, you will ascend, and boy, if you turn those words around, you might not be hearing the same thing. And that is the only way, in my opinion, to find out who is real, who is honest, and who is not.
And did you ever get a sense intuitively when you were hearing somebody speak, even if it did sound syrupy and sweet and all of that, would there be something inside of you that would question, that would say, I'm not so sure about this?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. But I was, again, in this awestruck state of having conversations with my spiritual guides and all these beings and being the good little girl.
Yeah.
No confrontation here. And even though they were starting to say some very bizarre things, I was thinking, oh, well, okay, we don't want to be disrespectful here.
Wow.
And say, what are you talking about? So I found that I was way too nervous about challenging what I was hearing,
yeah.
And that was a big mistake. But I learned. I learned because I began to hear them in reverse. And then once I heard the lies, holy mackerel, they did the fur fly then. I was calling them names, and they were just going back. We were arguing like, whew, it got hot and heavy here, let me tell you.
And I'm sort of thinking that maybe in a certain respect they enjoyed that. They enjoyed being challenged.
I think what really hit home with them was when I didn't give up on it, when I didn't just say, this is all nonsense and I am not dealing with you anymore, and just put away. I did that, but then I would pick up the recorders again and say, look, can't we just work this? I tried to actually write a book with Francis about his life, and I thought, I'll write your story, which was incredible, being an indentured servant, and he fought in the Indian Wars, and he was a bare-knuckle fighter, and, oh, man, this is a great story here. And then I thought, and then Francis can put his voice onto a disc, and we can sell the book in the disc.
Wow.
He was very crabby, though, and he had his moments when he would go for it, and then the next day he wouldn't. So I had to give up on the book idea. But I never gave up on the people, and then what really did it for me, Juliet, was some of the families that were there, and there were little children that were stuck in that world, and I just could not understand it, because this was a very predatory place. This was a place, it was like a police state, what we would think of as a police state. And unlike anything I had heard, the people over there had bodies that in their world were just as physical as here. They had to eat and drink. They needed houses. They needed money. And they would have sex. They could get drunk. They got sick. And I thought they'd be sort of more ephemeral and floating around. And
I'd like to interject something here, because this is very interesting what you're saying. I don't know if you are familiar with the book Return from Tomorrow by George Ritchie. He's an NDEer, and this is so interesting because he was in the military and he was getting ready to leave the military to go to medical school. And he died of pneumonia, and he was walking around and he had no idea that he had died,
mm-hmm.
that his body had died. And he kept asking directions how to get to the train, and people were ignoring him. And he thought, what the heck is going on here? And then he realized that he was dead. And what was interesting is during his NDE, which was very elaborate, he was still dealing so much with the physical plane and things that you're describing, you know, even seeing people in a bar and deceased entities in a bar, still drinking,
mm-hmm.
and still
yes.
doing all of this stuff. And I thought, oh, how strange, because, of course, my NDEs were nothing like that.
Right.
There was no weariness. There was no fatigue. There was no hunger, thirst. I didn't have a physical body. So it's interesting to note, even there, the different dimensions and different frequencies. Because,
yes.
again, some NDEs have a very physical experience, a very worldly experience, and then there are other NDEers who just have a completely opposite experience. So that's very interesting what you're describing there. Go ahead.
Well, these people obviously were they didn't come back. Obviously, they were over there. And I asked Francis about his after death experience, and he told me that he was still lying in some levels, because he told me he died by being robbed on a roadway, but he actually died of rabies.
Wow.
And because it had been such a horrendous death process, he was still mentally sort of disturbed on the other side. Not insane, but just he had a lot of lot of problems. So he told me that when he died, he didn't know he was dead. He said it took him a while to understand that he was dead, and he said he was suddenly propelled by an unseen force that he never saw. He never saw what propelled him, and he said he was just literally dumped into that world, and that he cried out for help, and no one was coming to his aid, and he said he didn't know what to do, and he just started walking, and eventually came upon a house, and he was able to, you know, find people, move in, and because it seemed like those people over there, many of them would live in groups of, you know, just different people, and people would come and go, and they would travel, and they often traveled, like, on airplanes, physical airplanes and physical cars, and they might just get in your car if you're going somewhere and ride along with you and then get out, but he said there was no light, no tunnel, no nothing. Just he was just dumped into that world. So different people have very different experiences.
Oh yes, they sure do.
Yes,
and it's good to acknowledge that too, because even last week when I had Matthew Double on my show, he was talking about having a very hellish death experience.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, once again, I never experienced anything like that. I could see where, you know, it was sort of like looking through panes, window panes, and I could see these different scenes and observe what other people or beings were experiencing, including a hellish thing, but I never actually experienced that myself. And then I was also reassured that that was just a very temporary thing and it wasn't really real. So it's interesting to observe that, all the myriad of layers and dimensions, you know, that exist even on the other side.
Yes. And as I said, when I found out that there were so many children that were stuck in that it was very dark and predatory, gangs and crime, and the people would prey upon each other, and they felt totally abandoned, the people that I spoke to, completely abandoned by everyone, by God, by everyone. They felt, Francis had been in that world for several hundred Earth years, and they never knew anyone who got out. They never knew anyone who left. It was just, they just were stuck. And that was just not working for me. I just couldn't even imagine that it could be that way. And so, you know, I have a few here, EVPs, and I'm going to see. I hope they come out okay on my laptop. Somehow my speakers died 5 minutes before the show.
Oh, no.
But I know, I'm thinking, that's very interesting. But I wanted to just maybe play a few of them. There's a few that are kind of interesting. EVP is not the easiest thing to understand because, of course, it's coming from another dimension. Sometimes the words are garbled. Sometimes they're kind of hollow sounding. These are not too bad, but I'll kind of tell people what to hear because otherwise we'll play, you know, guessing games. But this one was just a man by the name of Luther. And Luther says, Luther died. Let's play some noise for me. I was at the pub at the time. So he was there, too. As a matter of fact, a lot of them stay there. They're not in the cemetery. No. They're at the pub.
Pull that Guinness.
Well, sure. And here's Luther saying, I hope some volume's okay. But he's saying, Luther died. Let's play some noise for me. I'll play it one more time.
I heard it.
You heard it? Okay, what I would do is I would take my recorder wherever I went, and I would say, I'd try to talk to the people. I couldn't hear them at the time. And then I would say, if you want to say something to me, when I go home, I'll listen, and then I'll come back and talk to you again. So this lady said on my recorder, she says, I want to be free, damn it. So, and then because Then we follow up, so I'll just play that one.
Okay.
I Want to Be Free, damn it.
I heard that.
Yeah. So then
wow.
I went back and I said, the lady who said I want to be free, and then she responds, she's here.
The lady who said I want to be free. The lady who said I want to be free.
And this lady says, I live here with him, living close to spirit. I don't know if you heard that one or
I
not.
I heard that, yes.
Yeah, so I was having these conversations.
Now, these are forward EVPs, correct?
These are forward, yes. I'm not playing the reversals because they're congruent.
Yes, right.
This was after I figured out about the reversing. I wasn't being fooled into thinking I was talking to angels or anybody like that, higher spirits. I knew I was talking to the people who lived there. They knew I knew. They knew I wasn't just going to say, oh, I don't want to talk to you low lives. You know, I just want to talk to higher intelligences. No, I wanted to, and I would say to them, things are wrong over there, and I want to find out what's happening to you. Why do you have children there? Why is it nobody's ever getting out? And you know what? They started coming, crowds of them would come, would listen to me record. I would record every day. I would try to find, I read out of David Icke's books and different books. I was trying to find anything that would shed some light on this, UFO materials. And then I began to think that maybe there was an agency that was not about God, that was controlling these people's lives. And that's how I got onto the whole reptilian agenda. So,
and it's very much a real agenda, like it or not.
Oh, it is.
Yes. And, you know, again, the interesting thing about my operating on different dimensions simultaneously and even during my NDEs, of course, I have very, very powerful experiences, but I've also been able to see, and on this plane and in my physical body, I have experienced the reptilians. And bless David, what a friend. He was able to explain to me so much of what I have experienced over the years and help connect the dots and make sense out of all of this, because I thought, blimey, who's going to believe this? People are already looking at me sideways as it is.
So, I can understand that.
This is, you know, it's very interesting, because I do want to say that, first of all, from my experience, there are a multitude of dimensions on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there are.
So there's the lowly astral fourth dimensional realm where I think this is all this stuff that you're talking about that's going on, but then there are other dimensions as well.
That's correct.
That we access, that there isn't this steamy, yucky prison, hellish kind of environment going on.
That's very true.
But unfortunately, it's predominant. And another thing that I want to address here and get your input about it is that when people are dying and getting ready to cross over, you know, a lot of people will ask me, well, what's on the other side? And I will tell them that people will experience what they expect to, whatever their mind can embrace, because that is what is familiar to them. And so they will go into a place, and a lot of it I really feel is protected, because again, you know, they'll quote see Jesus because that's what they expect to see or experience,
right.
And it could be something entirely, and it actually is something entirely different, or they'll see somebody or something else. So I'm curious what your take is on that, how you feel about that according to some of the things that you've heard or listened to.
Well, this is what I've come to. Because I know we are living in an electromagnetic prison world right now.
Exactly.
And everybody who has any idea about this and listens to reverse speaking will hear it called the net. and it comes up as probably the most common metaphor, that and the owl. The owl stands for the reptilian race, and you can just think about Bohemian Grove and you get the idea. But this net, and there are many, there are levels within this net, and there are, but I think our true home is outside of this net. And that is where we, once this net comes down, then and only then will we be free of this reincarnational cycle. And
yes.
Because I think this is a false, this is all a false construct. Time is a false construct. And the there are higher worlds. They are, you know, I think, again, if you are a devout Christian and you feel that you're going to be going into a heaven world and you lived a decent life, you will probably wind up going into a heaven world. But I think you can still be in the net. And that's why you can then be put back into the physical world, even if you don't remember. Remember, this is really, this is a big subject. This is a toughie. But we have this connection to life outside of the net that is real. And I know that the reptilians understand this, that it is locked away in a part of our consciousness or mind that we can't access, but they know how. They know how to give one experiences on the other side. They know how to give you, they don't give you beautiful experiences, but they open up that portal in your mind or in your consciousness that is real and connects you to those experiences. But you're still in the net, and that's why you still come back here, and you're still in the prison world. But
now,
those
do you
experiences,
believe that absolutely everybody and all experiences are still caught inside the net?
I believe so.
Why do you believe that?
Because I have heard people speaking in reverse, and they have said things like, every road is blocked. We are in total lockdown. We are in this net. And the only thing that will finally release us is to shred this force field. The force field is like a Faraday cage, which Robert Monroe, the great
yes.
astral traveler, he was put in a Faraday cage as an experiment, and he was able to easily get out of his body and get into his astral form. Well, when he was in the Faraday cage, which is an electromagnetic force field, his astral body would bump against it, and then, and he just couldn't get beyond, he couldn't pass through it. And I think this, and I'm not saying that this net has always been this powerful or this strong or that nobody's ever got, I'm not saying that, because that I don't know at all.
Because
but
I was
I'm talking
to say, it feels like my own experiences, again, my NDEs, well, those as many different NDEs as there are NDEs, but
yeah.
My NDEs were different from a lot of NDEs because I wasn't hovering over me, Baldy, and focusing on that. In fact, I went way, 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 way out, you know, and I was seeing and experiencing so many things simultaneously. And again, how do you describe no time space
yeah.
in a time space kind of context? Because I experienced no time, no space. And I really felt myself outside that grid or net, but I was also able to see it. And David Icke, in his book, Infinite Love is the Only Truth, also talks about that. He uses a nice metaphor referring to it as the Matrix grid. Now, I've mm-hmm. never seen the Matrix movie, so bear with me. I'm speaking a little bit in ignorance, but I can visually get the gist of it because of seeing it, although I still feel from experience that I was able to, at least at times, break beyond the confines of the net.
You may very well have. You may very, very well have. I would not make general blanket statements about that. I think those who have had much more physical experiences in their NDEs,
yes.
Probably stayed within the net, and there's a good chance that you were able to pierce through it. And I think that would be almost like a case-by-case
yes.
thing, exploration.
Yeah. That's so interesting to talk about because, you know, again, I was just feeling, wow, it's so interesting how some of these people just move around their bodies or they still focus so much on the physical plane.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even having these hellish experiences, and I thought, oh, well, that's definitely within the matrix grid.
Yes.
But yet what I experienced was so different from
mm-hmm.
that. And yet, you know, I think it's all valid. Again, we're talking about multiple layers.
Yes,
multiple
absolutely.
Dimensions. And I don't want to frighten people into thinking that we're all, you know, indefinitely and completely locked into this
no.
grid. I think we can kind of trick them and, I got out. Ha ha. You know.
I think that my computer's talking to me again. It's just these voices just start up when I'm not even looking at it. But I think that within a very short time, Juliet, we are going to have experiences that belie anything that we can even imagine. I've been hearing what's coming up, and we are not going to stay in this prison world much longer. We may go through some things, but
oh, yes.
I don't think, you know, we can just think that we're going to gently ascend. But I have heard over and over, you see, there are no atheists in reverse. None. There are none. Everybody knows about the divine, the creator, the one God, and I have a whole file on my website talking about the creator and people who are not even, you know, it's spiritual, and they all recognize the creator. But this net that has really gotten stronger and stronger over the last few years has got to go, because we're really being cycled around, and let's say that you were able to penetrate for a short, you know, during your experience, but you're back here.
Oh, yeah.
You're back in the net, and so am I, and so is everybody else listening. And I have heard that there is going to be an incoming planet called Planet X.
Planet X.
Yes, and I have a lot of information about that in reverse. And that is what is going to save us, because as it passes, it will literally tear apart that force field. But there is a huge disinformation campaign already to scare people about Planet X. And it is not anything to be scared of, because what I've heard is Planet X is intelligently controlled by the Creator to shred the net, to wake us up from this stupor that we're in here, to kick the reptilian race off, finally. They're going to go into a hell dimension. And I've also heard that while there may be some Earth changes during this passing, that there will be shielding to help protect us from any of the consequences. So I'm not saying it's going to be a cakewalk, but what I'm saying is while the prison walls are falling down, which is this net, I've heard that we are not going to be subjected to catastrophe, ecological catastrophe, that it will be mitigated because the Creator loves the Earth and loves all of us and does not want to inflict any more pain, but it's going to take a huge force to get rid of this net, and Planet X is that force. That's what I've been hearing.
Have you received any timetables about...
Oh, timetables are so hard.
Oh, boy, are they ever. I know, I don't like asking the question. I don't like being asked that question, but sometimes people are curious.
Yes.
And just in case, but no matter if you haven't.
Well, I've gotten in trouble before over timetables.
Oh, me too.
So now I'm like, ooh, do I want to go out on that limb? I think it'll be sighted, you know, before it comes here. It's being shielded by this net, or I should say hidden, and it is coming in from the south. So there are a number of telescopes that the powers that be have put up to track it, one in Antarctica, and they're using infrared technology. So I think that that makes it more visible if you have access to infrared.
Exactly. And it's huge what they're doing down there. It is absolutely huge and quite covered up as well. They're not wanting people to know about this at all.
Yes, Earth life is covered up.
Is it ever?
So once they can no longer hide it, then I believe what is going to happen is there's going to be a huge campaign, first to say, especially if this net becomes visible, which I don't know if that will be visible or not to us physically, but I think that they will then start to, and I'm talking about the controllers of this planet, using their slaves or servants, who are the power people. They will say this: the net was constructed to deflect Planet X, so, you know, because this is a horrible thing, and it's going to cause terrible disasters, and people are going to be very, very frightened. And there's also those on the Internet who say this planet is filled with reptilians or Anunnaki coming back to do harm, and that is a lie. And I believe that they will send out frequencies to scare people even more, and so that people will be much more easily controlled, because
yes,
if they see this, it's going to be very scary to see a huge planet coming our way, and that they will just scare people half to death. And I know that that is not what's going to happen, that we are going to be set free. And Juliet, my main reason for coming forward with all these things is to try to, at least in my own small way, reassure people that this is the best thing that can ever happen to us, for this planet to come through, because we will finally be set free to really evolve the way we were meant to. We were not meant to live with only 10% of our brain operating.
Exactly.
And struggle.
Exactly.
And illness and war. This has all been given to us by these reptilians, because they feed upon energy, and their whole thing is, their agenda is totally selfish, self-serving, and the human race has been victimized by this race for a long time, and that's what's changing.
We've been totally hypnotized, and yet, you know, as I've repeatedly said, that the light is just going to burst forth and undo all of this ultimately, but we've got our work to do too, and that's why I was sent back every time. And interestingly, I was repeatedly told that where I was going, in other words, this plane and this planet, it's a hologram, it's an illusion, it isn't even real. And of course, the mortal mind, the ego, has got, you know, a real hard time getting its arms around that one, but it's true, and I actually saw it whilst on the other side. I was able to see that this is nothing but waves and particles. I saw the waves, and in fact, even in this body, it just happens for a few seconds or even a minute, but it does happen, where everything that I'm looking at on the physical plane will suddenly become just waves and particles. And I think about that too when I'm working on websites and doing the HTML, and I thought, well, this is just like this plane. Everything is code. Mm-hmm. And then when you put all that code together, then you get this image, and it looks and feels real.
Yes. I can understand that. I can understand that. But the suffering here is real. And
yes,
I think that even if we can say it's an illusion or a dream, the suffering that is happening is so overwhelming right now.
Yes.
People who are being victimized and brutalized, just even in the physical world, not to mention what started to happen to those people on the astral, in the lower astral that I was talking to. There's nobody left in that particular world right now. They're all gone. They've all been murdered. Every single one of them. And I have no idea how many there were in that lower astral world. And they weren't all criminals and bad guys. They were little children and families. And because I talked to those people, and I had parents on the other side begging me to help release their little children. They didn't even ask for themselves. So this whole idea that it was only the lower element that got there. There were children put in that world that did not belong. They had no time to become negative, and
right.
the whole families. I mean, it just blew my mind. It was nothing like I had thought it was.
Was this EVP and or telepathy that you were
this
getting?
This is all EVP and then reversing
wow.
EVP. Yes,
mm-hmm.
because I didn't trust telepathy anymore because, you know, I could see that I was coming into things from my own belief systems, and that was coloring
sure.
my vision. And with, you know, and I wasn't the only one who, anybody who was here could hear these voices. And, I mean, it wasn't like it was just coming out of my head. I mean, it was audible, and anybody in the room who was listening was like, I mean, we sometimes debated on what was being said because it wasn't always clear. But the fact that people were talking, and we would sit together, and we would, you know, I'd have 4, 5, 6, 7 people here at any given time. I mean, I had a regular Grand Central Station for a while, and so it was not just me hearing this. It was a lot of other people.
Well, I think as people become more receptive, and also the fact that there is a quickening taking place, we are being upsurged, as it were, with the changing in the frequency. So I think it is enabling a lot more people to actually hear and see these things, even with our so-called naked ears and eyes.
And I think that the net is also unraveling.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's both, which is allowing in more light, and also, you know, it's breaking down the barrier. So, because this reptilian race is in a frenzy right now, they know they're getting kicked off.
Yes.
And so there's a huge battle going on the other side right now, which just started a few months ago. And the one thing, because I record myself all the time, because I want to check and make sure that I'm not being...
I think we're getting a caller, and that's good because we've got less than 10 minutes left of the show. I can't believe it. Who is calling in?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Chris Owen here. How you doing?
Hi, Chris. All right. How are you doing, friend?
Good. Calling on behalf of all the mediums out there. Now, from what I understand, and then maybe if I can get Peggy to clarify this, that... maybe our messages are being filtered by reptilians or... this is what I have a question about, because we give messages to people who are bereaved and so on. We give spirit messages from the people that have passed. And I just wanted her opinion as to if these messages are being filtered in any way by these reptilians or... Is this something that we don't have to worry about? And also,
well,
our healing, our healing methods, are they being manipulated also? And if so, why would that be? And I just need a little bit of clarification on that.
I understand, Chris. Thanks for the. It's a very good question. I think any time that you work on healing another individual, that's always a positive thing. Because there's no manipulation there. If your heart is right and somebody needs a healing, I think that there is, you know, that is just pure, in my opinion. As far as messages, I think the only way that you can know for sure that your messages are truly from the person that you think they are is to record yourself and then reverse. Because in reverse, you will tell yourself what is true and what is not. The spirit world is fraught with deception. Let me tell you, I have been down that path, and there's a lot of manipulation that goes on. So I would say I won't make any blanket statements again, but if you were to have somebody who listens to reverse speaking, or take it up yourself, and try talking into and ask yourself questions and see if you can hear the answers. I have a website, and I do have a lot of information on how to do reverse speaking. I have a free download on how to and equipment, and you don't need to be really, you don't need to be obsessed about it like I am, but it's just so easy when you have a good and pure heart and you're really trying to help to be deceived. It can happen. I'm not saying it's happening for you or anybody in particular, but I am saying that if you were to talk and you listen to yourself in reverse, you will communicate to yourself the truth of what's happening. And I hope that's...
That's great. If by any chance you reverse speak Juliet's show, if you could let us know what you found on your website, that would also be great.
Reverse speak who? This show?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
I offered people to please reverse me all the time because I have reverse speaking analysts on my website that, and you know, they're not all my friends. I don't even know some of them, but I say, okay, if I'm screwing up here, I want the world to know because I want to know. I do not want to be telling people stuff that's false. So, you know, anybody who wants to take it on, just go ahead and do it.
Sounds fair.
Yeah.
Juliet.
My feet are always held to the fire, let me tell you.
Okay.
That's right.
Thanks a lot, Juliet. Bye.
Oh, you're so welcome, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
I appreciate the question, too, because I'm also a medium, you know, and I've been doing this for many, many years. And I would like to think that I can make the distinction between a malevolent and a benevolent entity, you know, but I, like you, Peggy, I'm really committed to the truth. I want to know what the truth is, come what may, you know.
I think that's the important thing, Juliet.
And I also really feel that, and Chris and I were talking about this before, he's a good friend, he's a fellow near-death experiencer, and so mm-hmm. we've compared notes quite a bit. On, you know, just having these experiences and, you know, feeling a connection with a light source, I certainly don't want to believe that we can't be in communion with source or with loving beings. I also want to trust in the deep gut intuitive feeling when something is real, just like what we were talking about with regard to the secret, and we're probably going to have to do that with the next show next week because, you know, I would just instinctively kind of contract if something weren't real or true, and then at other times I just feel like this is real. This is something that we can rely upon. So, you know, I admit that I don't have access to this equipment, but it's really interesting to find out about, and I really appreciate your talking about this. Now, how do you actually reverse something? Is it with software
yes.
in your computer, and then you slow it down and play it backwards?
Yes. Well, I have SoundForge software, but there are other software programs that one can use, and there are some free ones. Audacity has a free one. I can't work with Audacity, though, and unfortunately SoundForge was bought out by Sony, and it went from being a $60 software to like a $300 software, which
is crazy.
But I have just developed this, and I have bionic ears because I've listened to so much of it. But it does take practice, and you just have to really kind of work with it, and I do have that free download FTP. Is it FTP? Maybe I'm thinking of PDF file on my, which will it lays out how I do it, and you know, all I really tried to go into a lot of details of what to look for. So I think if anybody's interested, they can always download that and read over it. And I also. It takes a lot of time, though, and patience. And not everybody, it's just not right for everybody. But, and I just wanted to also mention, Juliet, you know, you're saying that you didn't want it to think that, you know, this is all, it's really not all about negativity. The Creator is in everybody's heart. We are all connected to the One. And there are definitely benevolent beings out there who are risking everything right now to help us. Everything. I was able to talk to them for a little while. they are mostly from the Pleiades and they're Assyrians. These are, and also all the people that are, were taken out, and this, we have a lot of help.
Okay. Well, we're actually going to have to end this transmission of Toward the Light for this week, but we'll be back again to continue this conversation next week. I want to remind everybody that it is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. You've been listening to Toward the Light, leading back to the source. We look forward to talking with you next week. Please remember that only love prevails. Blessings and light to all.
Thanks, Juliet.
Thank you, Peggy.
It was a pleasure being here.
We'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
Signing off for this transmission.